Yeah. Okay, this first one deals with forms. So you go into the place under VBNet called Form Menu. Okay, let's go in and... $156, and I'm going to VB.net programs, and if you come down here, forms and menus, that's the one, form menu, okay, and that has stuff from chapter 7 on the forms and menus, so we're going back and looking at those. Okay, so form menu has underneath it a math menu, and it has a VBNet CIS 156, which is what I'm going to look at, and that has some forms in it. So what I want to look at is the forms. And the first one that I'm going to look at under this is CalcPay 2 Forms. So when you get all of this downloaded, that's the one I'm going to open. CalcPay 2 Forms. And this is the one that I think I have an error in it that apparently I made in class and then saved. And so I'm going to have you see if you can find the error. I was going to fix it and then I said, nah. It's under VBNet, under Forms and Menus. As CalcPay 2 Forms. Okay. Is everybody there? Okay, this one has two forms on it. Form Get Info and Form Show Pay. Now, the way I got a form on there is I went to Project Add Windows Form. And let me insert that blank page. There we go. So I went to Project Add Windows Form. And it comes up with a form that I can add. So I want to add Form 1. Okay, I just want to add a form. And I say Add, and there it is. Okay, so here is Form 1. So I just added that form. Okay, if I'd already had a form one, it would call it form two. If I already had a form one and form two, it would call it form three. If you want to change the name of the forms, by the way, you should change them up here, not down in the properties. It messes up if you change it down in the properties, huh?
It doesn't mind me. It always gives me an issue.
Right. You want to change the name up there. So if you want to change it, you can go in and change the name up here. Right-click, rename. So you can go in and change it there, but you don't want to change the name of the form other places. And it really is a pain in the neck. So I tend to leave these old ones. It wasn't as much of a pain, so I used to change the names more readily. now I tend to lots of times leave the name as Form 1, especially when there's only one form. Then if you go in here, now I have multiple forms. Okay? If I go in and I right-click on this up here, which is the name of the project, if I right-click on the name of the project and then click on Properties, it comes up and it lets me pick a startup object. Okay? So if I've got multiple forms, by default, the first form is considered the startup. Okay? But if I want to add other forms and I want the startup to be something else, I come in here and I change the startup object. And the startup object will let me specify which form I want to start up with. And if you look over here, it's got all my forms. Form show pay, form get info, and form one. Okay? So, I can go over there and pick my startup. Okay, so I really don't want this anymore. And I really don't want that anymore. So I'm going to delete Form 1. And I'm back to, I think, and I hope, where I was. Okay? So again, if you want to change the startup, you do a right-click on the name of the project and then pick Properties. Right-click on the name of the project and then click Properties. Okay? So now I've got this program, and if I say start, it will start with get info. Okay, so there is the start. So I'm entering 123 as my ID. I'm entering my pay per hour as 20, and my hours worked as 50, and I'm saying calculate pay. And I think this is the one that has the error. Yes, I am getting negative 350, okay? Which I worked 50 hours, I'm supposed to get $20 an hour, and I got a negative number. So obviously my calculation is wrong. So go in and find what's wrong with my calculation, and then we will look at the rest of what happened here. So there's something wrong with my calculation that I'm getting a negative. Anybody see it?
I think I do, but I'm still trying to wait for my screen to get to it so I can test it. Give you a clue, it's missing parentheses. You could fix it another way, maybe, but the way I fixed it is missing parentheses. So apparently, when I save this
sometime or other, I had taken out the parenthesis.
Okay, let's look at the order that it's doing things in. Multiplication and division is done before addition and subtraction, right? So the first thing that it's doing is this. It's doing that multiplying. Okay? Then it is coming over and doing this multiply, which multiplies 40 times that. Okay? That's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to take this and subtract 40. I wanted the hours worked, which was 50, minus 40 to get me the overtime hours. So this in here is my calculation for overtime hours. So I clearly wanted to do that calculation before I multiplied by pay per hour and multiplied by 1.5. And so the third thing it did was this. Then it went back and did the addition, and then it did the subtraction. Okay, so then it went back and finished all the multiplies. It went back and did that, and then it did the subtraction. And the subtraction got me my negative number because it was multiplying 40 times the pay per hour times 1.5. And so it was messing things up. So if I go in and put parentheses around the subtract, now parentheses are done first. So it comes in and it takes the hours worked, which was 50, minus 40, and it comes up with 10 there. Okay? Then it takes 40 for the regular pay times the 20 for the pay per hour, and this was 800. Then it multiplies the 10 times the 20, which is 200, times 1.5, which is the 350. And then it finally does the add of 800 plus 350, which is going to be 1150. Right?
I think that's the way it
works with the overtime. 10 times 20 is 200. 200, wait a minute, times 1.5. Actually, it should be 300 and it should be 1100.
I just can't multiply. That should be 300 and that should be 1100. Okay? Because 10 times 20 is 200, times 1.5 is 300, not 350. 200 times 1.5. So it is 800 plus 300 equals 1100.
Okay. So I've now put the parentheses back in. And if I run it with the parentheses in, and now I am getting 1100. Okay, and so 1100 is the right answer. Okay, so now let's take a look at how this worked. First of all, the 1100 came up on another one, another form. If I try to go back to the original form, notice it won't let me. If I say return to process new employee, it closes this and lets me back, and I can now do another employee. Return to process, I can now do another employee, and I can keep going through and doing as many employees as I want. Okay? So, I have on, if I look at the code, the form get info, does the calculations. The form show come on. There's design, form show. Can I please? Oh, that is show. Okay. All I've got in there is new clothes.
So if they click the button that says button return, all it does a me close.
So it closes it out. And when I close it out, then I can go back to the other form. But in this mode, I can't have two forms open. Okay, so if I close this down and look at the info design, here's what I have there. I didn't work pay a single. Okay. I dimmed show pay form as a new instance of this form.
So I'm saying dim show pay form as a new instance of the form show pay.
Okay, I've defined the show pay form. And I'm now saying I want a new instance of that object. Form show pay is an object. And I want to have a copy of that object that I want to work with.
So I want a new instance of that object. Then I say, okay, take the textid.text and make it a copy. Put it onto the show pay form in the text ID received field.
Okay. So, I've told it, number one, I'm sitting in get info. I'm sitting in get info. I have made a copy of the form show pay that I can use. And now I've said, take that form show pay.
It has a field on that form called text ID received. And I want you to put the text ID into that form.
Onto that form. In the field called text ID received. So again, if I look at show pay, it has a box here. And that box is called text ID received. It has another box, and that box is called text pay. Okay? So now we're back over to here. It is going to take the ID, and it is going to take the ID and put it onto the other form in that field called text ID received. So I'm saying to it, I don't want to show the text ID here.
You've already typed it in. I want to show it on the other form. So I'm going to say, take the text ID, put it on the other form in that particular field on the other form.
And then I said, okay, now let's do a calculation. And I went through and did the calculation.
And then I said, okay, the result of the calculation is word pay. Make word pay, send it over to the other form. Show pay form, text pay, dot text, make it equal to word pay.
So put that on the other form also, and now show the other form. Now, show dialog shows it in the mode that you can't have it open and go back to the other one. If you just have show there, then you can have it open and go back to the other one. Most of the time, you don't want to do that, because talk about confuse yourself. You can end up going back and then opening the form again, and you can end up with 10 copies of the form and total confusion going on in everybody's mind. So usually when you go over to the form, you want to show the form
and then you want to close it before you go back and go back to the original.
Okay.
But there are ways that you cannot do that. But, you know, on the whole, you want to close it and then go back. So show pay for means show the instance of the object.
Okay. This being the object. And then I've got an instance of the object, which is the one that I'm using right now. An instance of the object is basically the one you're using now.
Okay. The object is the template. At least that's the way I think of it in this case. The object is more like the template, and then the one that I want to use is the dim show pay form. The show pay form. So in this one, I took some text that was typed in on the second on the form and moved it to the second form. And I took it for the result of a calculation and moved it to the second form. And then I said, okay, now show the second form. So I can take information from the first form and send it over to the second form and show it. Now, frequently this is used when you want to do something like that, when you've got a main form and then you kind of want to show the answer on another form or something like that, you get into the using multiple forms. But this is the basics of using a multiple form. Yeah.
The show dialog is what opens up the second form.
Yes. Show pay form dot show dialog. And if anybody has the book, look up all the templates I gave you, will probably do it too. I have an absolute inability to remember what it's called. One of them is called Modin, and one of them is called Modeless. And I do not have the ability to remember which is which. I think I do, and then I don't. I think I actually have examples. Nope, that doesn't do it. We'll get into where it actually says it. I need to go back and put a comment in these and say this is modal or this is modeless. But one of them is the show dialogue, and the other one is just a show, and that's the one I think we're going to look at next. Okay. So, file, close solution, and we're going to open the next one, which is second two forms. And I didn't bother to. No, actually, this one isn't. This is still show dialogue. This is doing it in a slightly different way, in that I took work pay and I defined it over here in a module. So I have a module that I made public. Public means it can be seen by all the forms. So I set up work pay over here in a module and said that's where I'm going to store the result of the calculation, and that will work as well. Okay, so that's my mod info. And if I go back to form get info, and I run this, and 1, 2, 3, 20, 50, calculate pay, comes up with 1100, and again, it's this way. When I say return, it will return. Okay, so it works just fine as well. Work pay is never moved to the other form. So work pay is not moved to the other form it is out on the module. And what the module does is it just says, okay, put word pay, and I format it for currency, put word pay in there. And it can do that because it's out of the module. And the module is accessible to both forms. And so since it's out of the module, over here I can just say, go to the module and get it and put it in here, because that's accessible to both forms. So this works equally well, but that's two techniques. One is when I move it all from the first form to the second form, and the other one is where I define something in a module, which means it's accessible by both forms, and I can just calculate it in this form, it gets stored in the module. And then in the second form, I can say, go to the module and get it and bring it over. So both of those techniques work just fine. Okay. And let me take pictures of that. Okay, now the next one, we're not going to play with this a lot. File, open, project. Two forms modeless. So if this is two forms modeless, the other one's modal. Okay, and we'll see which is which. Okay. Click here to go to form two. So I go to form two. Whoops, what did I just do? I didn't start. That's what I didn't just do. So click here to go to form two. And I'm displaying before going to form two. It brings up form two. Whatever. But notice if I come back, I can do it again. And go through all of these. And if I come back to form one, I can do it again. And I can open all of these. And I can open as many of these as I want. And so I can go over here and do something like hide the forms. I've got the forms going on, but I can open as many of them as I want. And since I named this modeless, I know it's modeless. And this one has the show instead of the show dialog. So there's the show as opposed to the show dialog. And it is showing that second form. So when I click on that button, I show the second form. And I've got multiple places where I show the second form. And if you look at form two, I can go back to show form one. So I can run back and forth between these and go to show form one. I can close this form and I can hide this form. So I can go back and forth and totally drive myself crazy with opening far too many instances of the form. Because I said new version one as new form one. So this one, feel free to play with, but not too reasonable. And then I have just two forms, and I think this one is modal. And I did write modal. So if I start on this one, click here to go to form two modal. Okay, so there it is. But I can't get back. So it's modal that I can't get back. Okay, I can't bid back until I close this. Then I can get back.
So it's modal that opens, only lets you have one of it open, and then you got to go back before you can open another one. And modalist is the one that allows you to have numerous versions floating around. And again, not what you usually want to do. You usually want to have the second form is usually I want to bring up details. So I've done something in the first form, and then I may want to bring up details in the second form. It may be, you know, where you click on something and you bring up name and address about it, the person. And so you can go and click on it and bring up the name and address. And I think the example that I have under VB, which we'll also look at, does that as well. Now, the other one that I have in here is a menu one, which we'll look at just briefly. And this menu has two buttons on it, calculate and reset, okay, which means clear, basically. And then another button going across that says exit. And this is the one where I tried getting you to work with the tutorials, the template. Because what you do here is you drag across the menu bar, and you can see that it is showing down here. Dragged in. So you drag across the menu bar, and when you put the menu bar up here, here's the bar. And so it is allowing you to go across here. If I type here, I put something in there. If I type down, I put another option under process, and I can go in and use the menu bar to set these all up. And then the calculate, I go to the menu and I make the button. When I double click on the menu item, it comes over here and I call it menu calculate, and I put in there what I want to do if I'm calculating. Okay. So I've got my menu calculate going in here and doing what I did in the other one. So now I've got the menu, and if I put in 1, 2, 3, paper hour 20, hours worked 50, and I click on process calculate, it comes up and gives me the 1100. And this is the same two forms, but on this one I have a menu. And I moved all the stuff down because one of my annoyances in life is having menus across that then block the stuff down below, which is probably why I'm not a big fan of menus. I like the button clicks better in Visual Basic. But there is the menu and you can go down. And I, as I said, moved everything down so I had room for the menu. Okay. So again, when you're designing the menu, you drag it over, you type the things in that you want, and then you double-click on them, and you can go and put in the code. And menu process doesn't have anything, and I clicked on that by mistake. Calculate does, and reset does. And so what I want to do is once I put them on there, I treat it just like a text box or anything else. I go to properties, and I write menu with the name of it, and I've now got the menu just like I would a button.
It's basically like a button. It's just that it works the same as a button. And so I've got now the menu thing that I can click on, and when I click on it, magic happens.
Okay.
So there is the menu. Now, we ran into all kinds of problems with this periodically. What is it supposed to be? Okay, what just happened? There we go again. Process doesn't have the underscore there. When I first did it, I swear it was there, and I know it was set up there. Okay? But I've been running into this problem with, there it is. I put the underscore there, I put the underscore there. The underscore is under exit. It is supposed to, emphasis on supposed to, work so that I have shortcuts that will allow me to go, is it control or alt? Alt. Huh? Alt. So if I say alt X, what do you know? It worked.
When you hit alt, the underscores appear. So I don't know if like that's...
Yeah, and maybe, that's right. I like noticed that. But that doesn't tell the user that this is a potential thing. Because if you look at that, would you automatically think, oh, I can hit alt X? And that's the part that, you know, that drives me crazy. Let's see if the others work, though. So Alt-C, so if I put a 1, 1, 1, and I come up here and hit Alt-C, that's not working. Alt-R, that's not working. Now, do I have to hit Process? But then if I hit Alt-R, it goes right back. So, well, let me try this. Alt-P and then Alt-C. Wait a minute. Alt-P and then Alt-C. Okay, so that did work. That wasn't working last time. I swear that wasn't working Thursday, but then again, maybe it was. Yeah, right. Alt-P to get me to Process, and that did the drop-down. And then Alt-C. So if I do Alt-P, that gets me to Process and gets me the drop-down. And then Alt-C, well, it worked the last time. Okay, Alt-P, Alt-C. It worked. Okay. But there's a reason why I don't like menus, and that's basically the reason. You know, that one worked fine. But if I hit the reset, I don't think I can hit the Alt-R. No, I can't. But if I hit Alt-P, okay. I don't have a menu on this one. Sorry about that, so I can't. So Alt-P, Alt-R, reset. So it did work. Okay, so if I put stay in there. But again, it really, why aren't they showing, when you look at professional things that have those underscores, the underscores are showing, which lets you, the user, decide whether you want to use them or not. So I find them extraordinarily annoying. But anyway.
It does it the same way with the actual Visual Basic program. If you hit like all, you'll see all the underscores.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, like, so then my comment about this is stupid goes all the way back to the original,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I guess that's just how Visual Basic does it. See, once you hit all the underscores show up.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't, you know,
they probably say that somewhere in the book, and I missed that. Anybody read that chapter? Okay, so apparently, interesting. So you're saying that if you hit the Alt and Alt E or Alt, what did you hit? Alt P. There it is. Okay. I would think I was holding down two things at once. Alt P, and then all the underscores come up. I never noticed that. Thank you. I still, you know, as I said, now I'm going to make a wider complaint. That I, you know, I'm not sure that I would ever figure out that I had to do that once and then all the rest would come up. I really, if they're not going to do anything else, they should at least tell me along here or something. All right, what's the worth of living if you, what's the use of living if you can't complain? And I'm complaining. All right, so that's the end of that. And you've solved the solution, and now I hope I remember it. So I'm going to close the solution, and now I'm going to go back to opening some stuff that were under VB 2015 and Chapter 7. And I've got two things there, a basic multi-form and a menu with grades on it. Okay, in this one I wrote the words modal and modeless for me. And so this is another one you can just play around with on modal and modeless. So if I say get instance of second modal, it comes up. And I put some numbers in there just to show numbers happening. Now I can say close the second form, and then I can say get instance again, and it comes up and it's added to them. Because I used to have 100 and 1,000 there. And I close the second, and I go back over here, and now I've got the third. And this again does not let me go back because I'm modal. If I say get instance of the second modeless, it comes back. And if I do it again without closing it, I get it again and again and again and again. And I can keep going forever on this. Okay, so modeless lets you keep going, and modal is the other, and if you ask me on Thursday, I won't remember. Okay, so again, bringing them up, I have a new instance, and I define a new instance on both of them. In the one that is modal, I do show dialogue. And the one that is modeless, I just do show.
Okay.
And those are the things that I do just to show the numbers. In the first one, I added 100 and added 1,000. In the second one, every time it came up, I added 1 and added 10. Okay. Just to kind of show you the progression that I was going through. But those are show dialogue and show, okay? And again, show dialogue is the one that is used the most frequently because you really frequently want to keep track of these things. And if I go to the second form, Can we just bring that up? Thank you. Okay. I have a button hide, and in this one, I was allowing myself to bring up another button from the button, so I've got another show. And this one, I've got another show dialog. So when I brought up the second one, I let it bring up more. Okay? Go back to the first and bring up an instance. So again, if I run this and I say get instance of the second modal, and again, I can't go back. So now, okay, so now I can say bring up the second form modal again, the first form modal again, rather. Now I've got that, and then I can bring up that, so I can still get myself out of control if I go back and forth. So you just have to remember that when you get over there, you want to close it and then go back and not open another version, because right now I've got a bunch of versions floating around. And I'm, you know, the user is not going to keep track correctly of what's open and what's closed. So those are basically just ones you can sit down and play with if you want to, and kind of bring up if you want to play with the modal and the modalis. And the last one that I want to look at is under that chapter 7 as well, and it's menu grades. So John, and what I've got in this one is a calculate three grades and calculate four grades. So if I want to have three grades, I'm going to put them in like this. If I and click on calculate three grades, and it comes up and shows that John got a C. So it's going and setting that John has a C, and then I'm clicking on return that takes me back. I can click on clear, and I can click on exit. Okay. So I've got a calculate letter grade in a module. So I just took and I put the if statement to figure out the letter grade in a module. Greater than 89, it's an A. If not, it's greater than 79, it's a B, and so forth. So I have the module to calculate the grade. Then I have another module that defines work grade and work letter grade. And that means that by defining them in a module, both the forms can use them. It's like super global. Global as you define them at the top, this is kind of like super global because now I can get to both forms. Okay, so both forms will understand work grade and both forms will understand work letter grade. Okay? And notice that they're both being used here. Work grade greater than work letter grade, so both of those are being used in this room. You're kidding. So get grades. Probably already have that open. Okay, so in here I said, okay, dim, and I made an instance of the form show grades, which I called form show grade instance.
And I went in and calculated the letter grades. And if they clicked on three, I took three grades and divided by three. And if they calculated four, I took four grades and divided by four. And then I came in here and I said, okay, take the name and put it in the name on that instance of the new form. And take the grade and put it out there. So I am going to go out and I do the routine called calculate letter grade. Well, that routine or module is not in this code. It's out here. But it's got full access out there, so it can find it just fine. And it goes out and finds the routine called calc letter grade. And it executes that function, that routine called calc letter grade. Okay, so there it is. It executes that subroutine. And then it comes back and takes the name from the form, the letter grade from what it just calculated, and moves them both to the second form, and then says show that second form. So again, if I run this and I put in the name Susan and 87, and that returned a B. So that is a way that you can go back and forth between two forms. And then when I hit return, I return, and that goes back. Okay, so if I look at this form, the show grades, return simply closes the form. Because when I close the form, it's got the two forms open. When I close the form, it reverts to the first form. So the second one I just do a close on, and it reverts to the first form. Okay. Questions? Okay. The next thing that we're going to look at, and I'm going to go back and look at past stuff for a minute, is going to be chapter 9, which is on files. And then we're going to get into looking at databases, which are a pain, which is what Eric will tell you about them. And they're a pain because if you're working in a company, they're fine, because they have their database set up and you can... I have some stuff that I have done in the past. I now have a 64-bit instead of 32-bit. They won't run unless I download something. It's kind of iffy. So we're going to spend a little time looking at how this works and playing with this. Tomorrow, Thursday, and on next Tuesday. And basically, I want to understand how it works. I want you to make your best effort at struggling with it, and we will see how it goes. Before we do that, however, we're looking at streaming and going back to original. If you remember back in CIS 120, I think it was, I had you do a form. I mean a file. So I'm going to do a file. Can I just get out of here, save all, sure, whatever. I'm going to open Project Solution, and I'm going to go to Chapter 9.
No, that's not what I want. Okay. I think I put it under 120. I think that's where it is. Yeah, these are under 120. And so if you want to go back and download the Visual Basic that I did in 120, this is one of the ways that you can do it. We're going to look at the Streamway on Thursday, which is what's in your book. But this is the way that we look at in 120 about how to write a file. And to tell you the truth, it's really easy. And it still works. And how often do you want to write a file? So what I've got here is, in order to write a file, okay, I'm going to take in information off text, from text boxes. And I have text ID. If you look at this form, I have an ID, a name, and a major. Okay? So I am saying, when I want to write, take the text that's in the text ID, concatenate it with a comma, concatenate it with what's in the name, concatenate it with a comma, concatenate it with a major, and concatenate it with BBCRLF, which moves down to the next line. Carriage control line feet, and it moves down to the next line. So I'm separating the things by lines. Okay, then I have to put it someplace. And I put it on the G drive in a place called Project Write Text. Apparently two of those places. And then I wrote the text file. So I have to go back here and fix my... And what was I on? I've got an F drive, and my F drive does not have it. E drive has VBCIS 120. So I'm going to put it on the E drive, and I'm going to put it in VBCIS 120. Okay, so I'm going to change this and say I'm going to put it on the E drive. And what did I say it was? VBCIS 120, I think. And I will call this Student Spring 17. Okay? And I will save this. And I will bring it up to run. And I'll put 111. John Doe is a CI major, and I will write, and it seems to have worked. So now I'll put 222. Susan Ash, CI, and write, and 333. Linda French. And CI and write. Okay, so I've now written those three things. And this was a real easy way to do it. Okay? What I've got up there is I dimmed Theta Write as the string. And then I just copied and pasted my computer file system, write all text, put in the address, and there's the data write that I dimmed up there, which tells them to write that. Okay? So now if I end this and I go back in, to here, I should see, what did I call it? Student S17. And there it is. Okay, so there's Student S17. So there's the thing that I wrote out
and it has the commas as the separator, and it has the line feed to bring you down to the next record.
Okay, so I wrote my record that way. So now I got to go in and read my record. So I'm going to close this solution and open the next one. And the first thing I have to do is tell it where it is, and that's not where it is anymore. So it's on the, did I say E or F? F, I think. And I made that spring 17. And so now if I start this up, file not found. Was it the E?
I thought you said G.
It was originally G.
Oh.
But that was when I was testing it at home. And it was on my G drive. So let's do if it's E. Nope. Did I not call it .txt? Stop. Student 17, I actually don't think I put the .txt on it. And I thought it was the F drive, so we'll go back and experiment one more time. No. Okay. Maybe I should give up guessing and go and open the other one. No, I did have the student VB CIS 120. That was where my problem was. I was putting it in just CIS 120, and it's VB CIS 120. So, just to be sure, I'm going to copy and paste this. And now it works. And I could have saved a lot of time if I'd copied and pasted in the first place. But anyway, so now I've got read, and I'm reading, and I read them, and then end of file has been reached. So that's the way that we originally did this, okay, is we went in and did that. And if you look at this code, that will show you what to do, and I just looked at the time, so we'll pick up this on Thursday and go through what's on that, and then look at how they're doing it with a stream one. Let me have the one more minute, huh?